I'm very happy to be invited to meet you. I had hoped that you will all come and visit us in the archives. I look after the archives, but perhaps you haven't had time, but if you still find time, I'll run up there and receive you. Orville Archives was established about 30 years ago, and that is soon after we went through a very troubled period in Orville. You all heard the story of Sri Aurobindo Society claiming ownership over this international township called Orville, of which we had read, and I joined Orville in 1976 after my retirement from the army, and I got involved in this so-called struggle, in the sense that I was being used to approach the government. And the government was approached, and they did intervene. And then an act of parliament, you all know about that. And that was also challenged. And it went up to a constitution bench of five judges of the Supreme Court of India, where we petitioned on behalf of Orville. And this case went on for 2 years. Ultimately, the decision was in our favor, and the things started getting settled down. But that period was a very troubled period. In fact, one of the anecdotes I might tell you, which is not recorded, is at the end of the judgment, after 2 years, myself and another Aurovillian, Yusuf, he's no more now, went round to thank all the five judges, one by one. When we went to the Chief Justice of India, he's a gruff old man, very sweet otherwise, and he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Sir, we've come to thank you." "Thank me for what?" I said, "Sir, for your beautiful judgment." "What judgment are you talking about?" Very gruff, and I was a little taken aback, shaken a bit. "General, I should be thanking you." So I was more confused. I said, "Sir, I don't understand. The judgment is given by you." Then a smile appeared on his face. "General, I want to tell you, I want to thank you for the unique opportunity you've given me to be introduced to Sri Aurobindo and Mother's teaching." That was a beautiful thing to hear at the end of the thing. And I felt every little bit of this struggle which we've gone through should be recorded. And people have been working hard in Orville. People invited from all over the world to come and build a city for 50,000 on an absolutely barren land, which I had seen when I first met the mother in 72. And I wanted to keep a record. People had the records with them in their own thatch roof huts and so on. But yet, and as you know, for paper, there are four major enemies, one of which, all four, we got plenty in Orville. One is the heat, other the humidity, dust, plenty, barren land, and insects, plentiful. And it's amazing, we had to preserve them. And I asked the community at that time, "Okay, we must have a place." They said, "Find a place." And I had to go around, there was no accommodation for many people to even live. They were living in thatch roof houses. Ultimately, I went and found below the auditorium, Sri Aurobindo Auditorium in Bharat Nivas, what I referred to as the dungeons of Bharat Nivas. Galleys below for air conditioning and cables. That was chosen. And we established it 20 years ago. We started collecting papers and we preserved them. And that's what I wanted you to see personally. But that is a very small place, and lately they've been modifying that building and I've been squeezed out of some of the accommodation I had. But the main thing is that it's not just the preservation of the paperwork, it's the need for digitalization of everything we have. It's absolutely vital. And my friend here, Thavid Rai, who joined me 13, 14 years ago, he's working on this in a small way. We don't have the equipment. We don't have the funds. And the place we have is not at all suitable. We don't even have a cold storage for our cassettes and slides and other photographs. We've been asking for that, funds for that. But we managed to create this place. It's air-conditioned, humidity-controlled, and dust-free, insect-free, but very limited, as we intended. So we put up a project for a new building, which I'm afraid, with our typical government approach, is lying, going up and down, and is still finding its feet somewhere. I don't know where the feet are now. And I would request you all, honorable members of the IAC as well as the governing board, to give us a push. And it's a specially designed building which will require special equipment, which will require its own power supply standby. At the moment, we rely on the normal supply in Bharatabad. And as you know, there are frequent power cuts. And even the generators are cut down because they don't have the money to run the generator. It's amazing what we've gone through in the last few years. This is our will. And I believe it's absolutely vital. I'm sorry I'm emphasizing this to the honored guests here, that we keep a complete record in this living laboratory called Auroville of all the experiments being done on us human beings. And we kick arms and legs sometimes. We misbehave at times. And considering that people come from all over the world with no specified rules and regulations by the mother, only one, no drugs. That's the only one.
No drugs.
And even we violated that sometimes, and I had to kick a man out, cancel his visa, and he had to go back to his country. In spite of the fact that a lot of people came to me, give him a chance, he's come to reform himself. So I said, let him go back to his own country and reform himself and then come back. But I'm afraid he died soon after we went back, overdose maybe. No, I'm telling you as a parting thing, and it is amazing, and I require your help, your endorsement, and your pressure on the government to sanction this new building with all the facilities so that we can digitalize everything. Paper has got a life also, in spite of all the precautions we take. But we need to convert this into digitalized. And I was asking JV, our friend here, who's hiding here, that please come and advise us how to get. We've been raising funds ourselves. The little we've achieved is our own effort at raising, and a lot of friends from all over the world, International Advisory Council, as well as others, international centers, have been contributing to it. So that's all I thought I'll tell you. And if there are any questions, I'll take them on. I'm deaf, and I brought my ears on the left. So if there is anything I can clarify, I'd be very happy. But I would request you to come and have a look at what we've done. Not to show off, but with the limited resources we've had, what has been achieved. And I think it's the hard work of people like him. I'm at a young age of 87. I'll be in less than 10 weeks' time, I'll be crossing 87. So I'd like to invite you to come and visit the old man.
He has covered all the points which is needed to be covered. And I joined archives 14 years ago, roughly. And mainly I'm taking care of the technical side and mainly digitizing all the documents, whether it is a video or audio or other things. And we are trying our best. And what we need at this moment is the community support, either it is a financial help or human resources, and we are doing our best, and we need support at this juncture. Thank you.
Has there been any consideration of combining this with the library? Because I know that there's a wish to have a library.
No, there is a library project also, and I feel we should be kept separate. I'm sure the two should not be combined. I'm quite categoric on this. But I know there are some people with that idea in their heads, and they are in a position to push their ideas. They're nearer the government than I am. But I wish people would realize that there's no relationship of the two, of people who come to do research or into archives work, of Orwell's growth, of this living laboratory. Experiments have been done. It's absolutely vital. They don't combine it with the normal Harry Potter and so on. So it's very important that we keep them apart. Sorry.
Have you had any professional help from archivists and others, or is that also part of the limitation of resources?
We see cooperation with other archivists. In the ashram, for instance, they have the expertise. And we also have an exchange program with another archives place. In Delhi also, we've exchanged some notes with them. But we do need experts here. And to hire their services is fantastic. We can't even dream of that much of money, living on our pences and... So I agree we need help. So we'd be very happy if some advice can be given to us, or volunteers who can come forward and help.
In fact, Orwell sent me to Delhi, the National Archives of India. But at the time, they taught me some techniques. It is mainly for the paper preservation. And now so much has developed, and we need to update our knowledge in terms of digitizing all the documents. So we need certainly technical expertise.
We are what we call the Resident Assembly Service. We have been on duty since the beginning of the year. One of our members is not in Orville yet, not in Orville now. It is Anita. I mention her name because she is a very dynamic member of the Resident Assembly Service. She is Indian, architect, and we have appreciated very much to have a feminine presence in our group. We have been on the job. We have been immediately taken by the very interesting event of the life of Orville, because we have been involved in the selection process of the new working committee in Orville Council. And this has happened in three different stages. The first stage was to form a study group, which has worked for 2 months in January and February, to choose and set up a process which would be satisfactory for possibly all the tendency of the community. They worked with 6 proposals, or even more, I think.
9 proposals.
9 proposals coming from the community, very different ones. And they came up with one synthetic, not synthetic, Don? Synthesized. Synthesized proposal. Which was put for in front of the community for final choice. In fact, it happens in a very interesting way, because the Orwell Council, who was managing the whole process, asked the people who had made proposal whether they were satisfied with this synthesized one, or if they wanted to keep their own proposal. And out of these people, two proposals came out. So we had the choice between three proposals, which we named ABC. We organized the second step of the process, which was for the community to choose the proposal. We came to one who got a relative majority. So we chose this one, and we implemented it. And the process was interesting in the sense that we kept completely aside from selecting people on the number of voices that the name receive. Votes. The number of what?
Nominations.
Don is suffering for my bad English. You were a teacher, no, before? Yeah, so he's double suffering. Excuse me, Don. So I think this is very interesting, and we Resident Assembly Service, have been very faithful to the spirit of the study group who has put up this proposal, who insisted very much that the selection be done on skills and the need of the work area of the Working Committee and Auroville Council. Up to the point where, when the selection committee, who was supposed to make the final choice, asked us whether they could have the number of voices that each name, the number of votes that each name received, we said, no, you cannot have it. You know? So we gave the result of the process which was there at the, in the community, which was that everyone would nominate, would propose some candidate on the basis of their known skills and the need of the work area of the Working Committee and the Auroville Council. So we came up, in fact, with 454 names for the Auroville Council and 357 for the Working Committee. And the selection committee was formed out of the previous Working Committee and Auroville Council. So it was the logic that people who had the experience could better be in position to choose a good candidate on the basis of their skills and the need of the groups. So they had a hard time managing all these names. And they did really a job which a lot of people in the community have welcomed very much and appreciated a lot. So that we are now having a newly elected, a newly selected working committee in Auroville Council, who was the trust of the community, was a very big trust of the community. The things is not set. I think there will be many other difficulties, but at least we have this capital. And to finish with what I have to say, because my colleague wants also to have a little word, I would just like to mention the fact that the Resident Assembly looks like, if it is a representative body or a fluctuant representative body of the community at large. I don't think we should see this as such. I don't think we should see the Resident Assembly as a democratic tool. It might be in some cases, but I think it's more a learning forum. The Resident Assembly, in all the way it meets and exchange, is a learning forum. It's a place for everyone to learn and to progress into the knowledge of what is Auroville and how can we organize it. So it is very essential at this point of view that it is being as alive as possible. Now, what role can it play in the decision process making? That is something to be discussed. But at least this is very important. And another point which I would like to mention is the fact that it is linked very much with the principle of self-determination, which is indispensable for any new attempt, any new human attempt to be. It is very important that the community has the freedom and the responsibility to think, to evolve, to go through the process where it can come out with what we feel is the best in the spirit. Because the spirit is there, the force is there. We have just to...
And the Resident Assembly Service, the RAS, the four of us, feel that we are the facilitators of that which my dear colleague has mentioned, and that it is yet to be decided as we interact together with the Working Committee, the Oroville Council, and active members of the Resident Assembly, how the Resident Assembly can manifest itself. We are here to facilitate that. We do not take a leading role except to say, oh, would you please sit over here, and to explain what is going on. So the learning process that was mentioned, we want to facilitate the learning process. We are not the teachers. We are basically facilitators. We have much to think about. For example, the Oroville Council up until now had been involved very much with conflict resolutions. Unfortunately, human unity is the ideal. It doesn't always happen. And there are conflicts, and sometimes really raunchy ones, to put it mildly. And so these go to the Oroville Council. But this takes time, patience, and so on and so forth, and that's not their function. We'll let them talk about their function. It's not for me to do that. So we would like to work on a system to take this away from them. Indeed, you need conflict resolution. Where and how to come by it? How can we help? The Resident Assembly Service, so on and so forth, is yet to be worked out.
In this kind of selection we did with the proposal A, I think what was asked to was not to have a majority running the place, but to have even, because you could have been elected even with one single vote. And this means that we try to go toward a more conscious way of directing than the numbers, the majority, 51%, and so on. Even the proposal A did not have the 50% required, so there was a big controversy about this. And I think this was one of the points that, you know, with only 38%, that, I mean, the numbers were not counting anymore. So what the idea is still to have some intuitive intelligence to direct the Oroville. So toward this is not the majority that counts, but this one can be many.
We have forgotten one thing, minor, but still important. Daniel, Don, and Raquel.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Raquel, my name. Anita.
Anita. So just 1 minute, because I'm working too in the radio there. And speaking about archives, we are recording now, so this is archive too.
So if we have one thing to ask you is to promote the reviving and the very living Resident Assembly. How can it be done? That is a matter which we can talk about also, but the principle should be very, very much looked at, not only in pure declaration, but in acting. And that is what we have missed the last years.
And we will facilitate that, please.
I think the Residents' Assembly, if you read the Foundation Act, if I have understood, perhaps I have not understood well, it's the Residents' Assembly who gives the power to the Working Committee. You are like, you cannot meet every day. So you ask the Working Committee to be working on your behalf. So it's very important that the Residents' Assembly have a lot of power and prestige. How to go there? I don't know. but it must be strengthened. So you must become a very powerful body where Orovillians, each Orovillian, identify with. How?
I would say power and prestige through participation.
Yes.
So this is the ever-present question.
And one element of response is obviously transparency, and it means information. That is to say, transparency, it means that the body like Working Committee or Oroville Council or whoever or governing board has no fear to communicate the information to the resident assembly. I tell you very frankly that for the time being, I'm not speaking of the new groups, I'm speaking of the past, it has not been done so. The groups are very cut. The groups, the FMC is working, doing a very good job, but not related to the resident assembly. There is not enough information. And there is one reason which is pushed in front, and it says that, oh, but it is so sensitive topics that we cannot communicate. I don't think this is true. There is always a mean to communicate sensitive information in a very respected way.
There is the Oroville Council, which is not in the Foundation Act.
Yeah.
But in the Foundation Act is the Resident Assembly's right to create those working groups, those bodies which will facilitate its existence, its function, its needs, and so on. And on top of that, the group which has been formed is the Oroville Council. And it is very much through the Oroville Council, which is directly from the Resident Assembly, that we would work, of course, along with the Working Committee as well. But please keep the Oroville Council in mind, even though not in the... in the Foundation Act.
I have a half of an idea to submit to you. Whenever we come as advisory council, we can organize things as we wish. That's written in the Act. So usually we try to listen to most of the groups, a maximum, in the time span we have. What we found out is that the groups were very interested to know about each other because they never have the opportunity. So we are asking now, next time, to the Working Committee to organize a full day that could be on the agenda where all the groups remain. Meanwhile, the others are speaking. So it could be a big joy to have everyone speaking. Could that not be a special convocation of the Residents' Assembly? It's just an idea, perhaps stupid. I don't know.
No, I think it's a good idea.
It's been proposed.
Yeah.
But that's up to you. We are just wanting to receive the groups. But if you want to do with the Working Committee, if you agree between you...
It will be done.
That it is a residence assembly, that you call the maximum of people, that there will be a compte-rendu of every group, FAMC, everyone will explain to us. Now, we should have a kind of policy saying, please do not intervene one part of the day, because otherwise we cannot continue. But we should you should organize some place where the people can interact. And so we can do our job. I don't know, perhaps we could go. It's just my proposal. I don't know what my colleagues think about that.
It is in the tubes.
I think while this is a very good idea, it seems to me it doesn't solve the basic problem. If it needs us, for all of you to communicate with each other and be transparent, I think there's a problem. So, to my mind, I think that there has to be a systemic change, and we, all of us as members of the International Advisory Council, have said that transparency has to be one of the fundamental principles, and all of us who run institutions know that, yes, there are many financially sensitive information, but there is a way. Essentially, it is required of most not-for-profit institutions, as those of us who live in America know, we have to produce financial documents that, in fact, are public. And I think that one way or the other, it seems to me, and you have an opportunity now because you have new groups, and there is a willingness to do this, that it should be one of the first principles that, in fact, this information is going to be available
not just online, but actually there is a discussion that people at least have a sense of understanding what it is. And something on a quarterly basis or biannual basis is totally not out of the question. And I think it should be done, it must be done, and it mustn't wait for us.
Sure. We are here, the Oroville Council, recently assembled. Shall I just introduce everybody? I'll pass the mic along. Everybody can just say their name. It's probably the best way to do it. Then you can hear their voice as well, which I think is also important. So I'll start down there with Nicole.
Good morning. So some of you know me already. I'm Nicole. I'm French. I've been living in Oroville since 1980, and I've been involved in a lot of aspects of the community over these almost 30 years now. And currently, I'm in charge of managing the visitor center and its restaurant. And I am also involved in the HRT, which is the human resources team, which looks after the maintenance of Orvillians.
Good morning. I'm Denis, French-Canadian, living in Orville since 1996. I've been mostly involved in the few years in the infrastructure of the committee, FAMC, working committee, mainly as kind of the note taker, the secretary. Then I've been involved also in some kind of business, and now I'm an executive of Portus at Aspiration also. And now I'm back on the committee structure with the Oroville Council. Nice meeting you.
Hi to everybody. I'm Lakshmi.
Lakshmi.
Get your microphone back.
Okay. I'm here since from 1997, and I'm taking my role in Oroville. I'm doing my service in financial service here since from 99 onwards. And now I have joined in the Oroville Council as a member, and I hope I will do my level best to the community as a whole. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ashok. I officially started to live in Oroville after 96, although I grew up in the nearby villages. Then I worked with Tapas and Mita for the Pure Water Project. So now the project is Pure Water Project. And now that project is over, now I'm working for a wind turbine company. It's a R&D project. We just started it. So there I am.
My name is Jesse. I'm from Australia. G'day, how you going? I'm involved in theatre, culture. I do a lot of work with children, theatre with children. This is what I like. I like to get people together. And hopefully that's what we can do with this council.
I'm Angela. I'm here only since 7 years in Oroville, and I'm working mainly in Future School, but I was in the working committee last term, and I liked the job so much, and they nominated again, so I couldn't say no.
Good morning. My name is Amy, and in addition to my new role in the council, which I'm very excited about, feel very good about, I also work in the housing service.
Hello. Good morning, all. I'm Sylvie. I'm living in Oroville about 20 years. I have been working as a nurse past 10 years in the health center, Oroville Health Center, but now I'm working in a project called Deepam. It's a special need kids project. I'm doing a
special needs.
Right. It's a project for the village, disabled village children. Especially, we concentrate working with the village children, and I'm part of the team, also in charge of the work, and I give speech therapy to the kids. I mean, especially with the hearing impairs and who has difficulties in talking. So I love my job. So this is another opportunity I got to be in Oroville Council, because mostly I'm out of Oroville, a little bit corner, and working with children. Now I'm exposed to the Oroville to see what's going on, so it's
It's beautiful. I hope I'll do my best regarding my job here.
And you play the veena also.
Oh, yes.
So you help us keeping the tune at the right pitch. That's why you are. I'm Jean-Yves. I've been in Auroville for 15 years. My main activity is in the field of education, what we call free progress education. I've been involved also in the economy as far as an economy without circulation of money is concerned. It's an area of interest for me. The Auroville Council is maybe more concerned with the qualitative aspect of our collective life, not the institutional aspect, not the quantitative, not the centralization or the planification aspect, but more the emergent aspect of the Auroville experiment. That's why I think we are useful, even if we are not a statutory body, and we have an interesting function. And I know that last year it was a question of requesting the governing board and the EAC to recognize the Auroville Council as a kind of legal authority, but we are not interested. We spoke of it. We don't want any legal authority. And we don't want to have a decision power. We would like to have an animating power, awakening power, harmonizing power. This cannot be legalized. It will depend on our capacity.
So we talked briefly about a couple of things. We thought, here we are presenting ourselves, we should have something to say. So we said that as a council, one of our priorities will be inclusion. We would like to include people as much as possible in the decisions made in Auroville and the way Auroville is run. We have the Residents' Assembly, the excellent Residents' Assembly, doing a great job there, and we want to work with them. And there was discussion at the Residents' Assembly earlier this week about making meetings fun, creating events that people want to attend that are not seen as boring political get-together events. They're actually events that people seek to go to and find themselves suddenly by accident involved. So that's what we want. We want to do that. We want to get people in there without them realizing that they're in. And then we, as a broader, more Auroville-wide goal, we'd like to look toward harmonization of Auroville's working groups. And this ultimately, I think, is about communication. It's about increasing the communication between these groups just so that they know what each other is doing and they ask each other some questions. And this, I think, already will be a huge step forward just in the way they work together. The Auroville Council also, I think, has an opportunity. Auroville has a lot of policy and rules and regulations, and this seems to be a natural evolution of any society. But there's a danger sometimes with these policies and rules and regulations that they do on occasion cut across human values. You do find that there are people that fall between the cracks sometimes, and there's a tendency in some cases to fall back on policy as a defense for actions that are not always human in their essence. And I think the council, there's an opportunity for the council to observe these moments and seek to focus on protecting human values and the way people feel and the way people feel Auroville relates to them.
Though we want to have a paradigm shift, it seems that we can't help but look to the existing institutions, and this is a leitmotif of Mark, that you have the executive in the working committee, you have a legislative in the Residents' Assembly, and a kind of judicial function in the council. And I'm very sympathetic with Jean-Yves in wanting to shift to a new paradigm where we don't have a decision that results in a zero sum in winners and losers, but we want the new skills that are coming in through compassionate communication, nonviolent communication, facilitation, so that disputes are resolved in a win-win. But I'm wondering if there's some way, it's almost like a compact, that as an Aurovillian, you resolve to keep the disputes at this level and not have to come up to the governing board or some outside authority. It's in America, we have the Supreme Court. And if you have a decision at the Supreme Court, as my friend Mark likes to say, c'est fini. That's the end. You've taken things as far as you can, and you have to live with the result. And I would really love to have the confidence of the community, and it may from time to time require an outsider who is seen as completely impartial, but this sense of natural justice and justice within the community is very important to us, and we hope and pray for your empowerment in making some new possibility for resolution without having to lessen our job and lessen the need for outside appeals. And then I want to make one comment. As someone who lives outside of Oroville, and you get a vibe every once in a while, to look at the Dalai Lama video, so much of what who you are as people and how you live your lives is important. And there was one shot, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Amy, but if you've seen the video, there's a shot of you smiling and nodding. And there's something very lovely that was communicated in that. And so I want to express my gratitude to all of you who are smiling and nodding this morning and sharing that vibe.
I was very struck by what you said in terms of the mission of this committee about the creative energy of Oroville, and also remembering the Resident Assembly Services people who said that the council had become very much a conflict resolution kind of a committee, and that you want to get away from that. I didn't quite hear from any one of you how that would be handled. And one of the thoughts that I have is that even if you don't do the conflict resolution, let's say, somebody has to do it. So where should that be and who? And the other question is that some of the things you've talked about versus what RAS is also wanting to do, that a little bit more clarity would be helpful. And the third piece, just as a short thought, is that I was talking with Mr. Doshi last night, and he was saying that he wasn't clear where is the spirit of Oroville reside in terms of newcomers and newcomers who are coming in. How are they being taught, if you will, or inculcated into the spirit of Oroville? And I wonder if that's something you all have thought about. It seems to me that that could be very much a part of your task and animating that in the Resident Assembly. Because for any community that's trying to do something different from the rest of the world, needs to continue to influence that spirit or inculcate that spirit into the community from time to time, but especially for newcomers. So I wonder if that was something that you all have thought about.
We're involved now in the creation of the entry service, the new entry service, and that involves looking at a lot of study that's been done on how to create a more effective entry service. And one of the studies we read made the recommendation for a pre-newcomer program, a program that attempts to give Oroville, or hopeful Orovillians an idea of what it is they're getting involved in, warts and all, excuse the phrase, and that is something that we'd like to include in the entry process, and so that is the thought.
We are, as a group now, we are only together since 3 days. I mean, she had just arrived, so just give us a bit time. I mean,
absolutely,
we can already speak about what we would like to do, but individually. And we would like to express our ideas together. So we just arrived, we just formed the group, and individually we have a lot of ideas and concerns because we have our own experience, but really what the group now.
Right.
So give us a...
Absolutely. Thank
you. Thank you.